That's the beginning of Channel 1 over. Beginning of Channel 1 over and a continuation of the visit with Ms. Chitty this Thursday, the 26th of August, 71. Beginning of Channel 1 over and a continuation of the visit with Ms. Chitty this Thursday, the 26th of August, 1971.
I don't see why in the world you don't make her do so and so before she gets off from me. She said, Miss Maggie, say you just letting Lizzie do just like her Aunt Lizzie let her do when she was raised and up. So I had to wait on her then, and I have to wait on her now. Said Miss Ella used to be the same way. I had to wait on them two gals. They go off to college, come home here with their flirty high education, where he's telling me what to do. So I was here for their worst. So I tell them I was a slave nigger. They ain't coming home and tell me what to do if my mother did.
And Susan would tell them.
Now I missed all that, Miss Kitty, about Susan.
She just the cook and half, partly half plate keeper of Uncle Martin's when we first come up.
Did she live on the plains?
No, so she lived back across the road going Willis.
Oh, I see.
And she tell Uncle Martin, Mr. Martin, she said, Mr. Chitty, I just tell you one thing. I'm getting tired of having to wait on Ellen, Miss Mag. She said, well, why don't you tell them? She said, they don't do nothing but turn their nose up at me. So I come here to do the cooking and the cleaning up in the kitchen and the dining room. So I didn't come here to do the housework too. So he, Mag, why ain't you done so-and-so? Why don't you make Lizzie do so-and-so? Well, Uncle Martin, Mr. Martin, no, Mr. Chitty, you know, now his brother-in-law, you know, Lizzie had to go over to Ella's this morning. He said, well, how'd she go? Well, she got G to hitch old Emma up to the buggy. And she drove over, her new children drove over to see Ella. How come you didn't go then, May? Well, I had to upstairs to clean up. And said, you come and tell Susan to clean up my part of the house down here and do the cooking, dishwashing and everything else. Well, ain't you paying her to do it? He says, I sure ain't paying you to do nothing, but I'd sure be glad that you and Lizzie take hold and do something. He says, I'm giving you a home to stay in until you claim you can't find one. But they finally found one when we went there.
Oh, did they?
Taking these portions of the bed linens, quilts and things. I didn't know what was up. I didn't feel like going around and picking up and saying, who's this? This yours? Is that? Is that? Hey, that is a yes. That's mine. That's mine. That's mine. They got off with a great big, you seen big wooden goods boxes where they used to. They don't have them anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Great big old wooden goods box. Well, I say it was about like this head, you know, take this off me and a little bit wider. I had as long as I could pack a quilt, bedspread, sheets, pillows, and pillowcases, and the box. That's what my son on now is upstairs. Just look around and run up there while they were packing up, you know. And then they've got pillows, sheets, quilts, bedspreads, everything. And that big old box. I said, they have anything when they come here? He says, no, not nothing but the clothes. I says, well, now I'm glad I said anything, Uncle Martin. He says, I'm glad you did. So he sent Susan up there. Susan's a cook then. See what Mag and she and Liz and the kids, I think, went down to the cemetery to plant some flowers around her sister Liz's grave. It was just out. And while they were gone, he had Susan go up there looking. Susan went, said, Miss, come on back. I said, Miss Chitty, I don't see nothing on them banisters up there. I said, you know, all them quilts and blankets you had hung on the upstairs, you know, had that banister around there. I ain't been down quilts and things like that. So I don't see none of them. He says, well, go back and look around in the room. I back up there and she looked in the box. She said, Mr. Martin, you didn't tell Miss T, you didn't tell me either. Look in the box. She said, but I did. She said, oh God, they got all your sheets, quilts, blankets, bedspreads. She said, I think they got some of your pillowcases and I believe they got some of your pillows. She says, well, how many pillows is on the bed up there? See, they were fixing to move out. They'd gone waiting for our son-in-law to come with the wagon to get the things. And they, like, knocked up that box down the stairs. Had three colored men and G, the son-in-law. I said, Mr. G, what's your wife and mother got into your box as heavy as it had lead in it? He told him, hurt, she didn't know what was in it. Well, she said, no, but I know what's in there. And they come on down. Some of them said, call Mr. Martin. I called Miss Judy. Judy gone out to, he was going to let down a panel of the yard fence, the front, and back that wagon in there. Take it, that thing. I said, you ain't getting my fence down. So she towed it out of here. He said, well, Miss T says, that Uncle Martin, won't you come? Uncle Martin, he says, that box is too heavy. He says, I reckon Lizzie and mother-in-law has got all my bedclothes packed in there, because I know they didn't bring none here when you come here.
Well, what do you know?
So she didn't say anything. I said, well, I know it's pretty heavy. And they went on. And I don't know what they done for furniture to lay on to use them things on. They went down another old two-story building. It was built, you know, with boards up this way. Mm-hmm. And then cleats to stop the crack.
Strips, huh?
Mm. Yes, it was strips. And then on the inside, somebody had at one time lived there, you know. They tried to paper it around, wallpaper. It wouldn't hold too good on that rough lumber.
Yeah.
But anyway, they brushed it down and cleaned it down. They even got old Susan to go up there and have them clean up there. She said, my God, Miss Meg. She said, Ma, why didn't you get one of them out of down there at the store, down there close to Miss Mag, Miss Mary, Miss Smoke, down. Get one of them out of down there. Miss Charlie Gray got a house over there. Why didn't you get that? Says, well, we spoke to Charlie about, but he didn't want to let us have it. Well, I guess he thought he had something in there that you might want to take off, too. What'd you say, Susan? Oh, I'm just talking. Then, Miss Mag, I know you got all Miss Chitty's bedclothes. It was upstairs. Then you've got them nice pillowcases and things out of that big trunk. And Miss Pearlie's room, too, if you weren't afraid you'd be caught before she got out. When they caught her, you caught before you. Soon I wish you'd keep your mouth shut. I will when I think it's time to, Miss Mag.
Now, who was Miss Mag and Miss Lizzie? They was Uncle Martin's sisters?
Sister-in-law and niece. His wife's sister and niece. And he helped raise Lizzie. She was a girl.
Oh.
And is she the one who went off to college?
He helped her off, helped send her off to college.
And she came back?
Ella Fant. He put her class through college, all the way through.
And they came back and Susan said they were uppity.
Oh, did they?
They thought they were. Had something on it, and Susan had more sense than they did. They said, going to college.
Well, now they are.
And then Uncle Martin's daughter, Annie, she sent her granddaughter. They sent their granddaughter to college. She got through college, come home. Oh, she was so highly educated and older. She had to get out there and yonder and go with this fella, that fella, and the other, and finally she ended up marrying Albert Mills from down there about, well,
'Fellowship'.
Oh, yeah.
And
I don't believe I've heard you mention Albert Mills. Do I know him?
No, so doubt if you do, because I don't know whether he's dead or not.
Well, I meant know of him.
But Albert Mills was Uncle Martin's daughter-in-law, brother, Florrie Mills. Was Albert Mills, and she had another horse, isn't it? I can't think that. But anyway, the Millses all thought they were just it.
Oh.
Better than anybody else. And Florrie Matthews, she is now, she was Florrie Mills before she married Roscoe Matthews, and he, some big old man, and he worked on building some of the first roads that was started through. He was overseeing a lot of them. And he finally got sick. Where was he at when he got sick? Florrie wanted him put in the hospital in Ocala, but I think, I'm not sure, but I think he died at the place where he was born. I don't know, but anyway, he died. He died and was buried.
Well,
died and buried before my little girl died. I don't know who she was.
But the Mills were, they were sort of it in the community.
Yes, and I don't know whether they're any kin to the Mills that owns the stockyard down there at Ocala or not.
Yeah.
I don't know whether
how far from you did they live?
Well, they lived there with Cousin Joe.
Yeah.
Cornelia's husband. After she died, Florian Roscoe was her husband. And he was selling. He started out when he started. Kind of a county marshal, like,
oh,
out there.
Yeah.
Out there around, kind of keep the disturbance down the
street. Keep the peace.
Keep peace out there. He's some kind of a sheriff, you know.
Yeah.
And when, Fernanda died, what? And then this granddaughter of hers, they lived back towards Ocala, her and her husband. And I don't know whatever happened to them. But I know, I think Cousin Joe died down at the new house to build.
Well, what did the mills, did they have a right to buy property at all?
I don't think they were too much up.
They just felt like they was.
They just got in with people they thought was would help pull them up. Now, Florrie, she was a mill.
Yeah.
She met Roscoe Matthews. That was Cousin Annie's and Cousin Joe's son, Martin's grandson. Oh, she was just dead.
Is that right?
And then her brother married her husband's niece.
Yeah.
And, oh, the old mingling, mingling, dingling, and
oh.
All mixed up. I don't know whether uncles, aunts, cousins.
Oh,
aunts,
they
niece.
Were. Is that right?
Well, Uncle Martin married Fanny Matthews. His son Jimmy married her sister Mary Matthews, and his daughter Annie married Joe Matthews.
Yeah.
I see. There's another one, isn't it? I think that got Joe right there.
Yeah.
And Uncle Martin was saying one day, talking over how much kin, or what kin, was he to this one, and that one, and the other. Well, you see, my father-in-law, Frank's mother, and Uncle Cooper Chitty, in Macon Opie, his wife were sisters. Well, Uncle Cooper was Frank's father's own uncle. And Frank's father, and they married sisters, you see. Uncle and nephew married sisters. But it was
she
double, double cousins. But now, when you get to Uncle Martin, that was Uncle Martin. He was father-in-law to his son Jimmy's wife. He was father-in-law to his daughter and his husband.
Uncle Martin was all that. Well,
enough to make your head spin.
And he was telling me, he said, "That fella," he said, "I never have got that thing straightened out."
Yeah.
I said, "Were you married, Mary Matthews?" He said, "Yes." "No, Fanny Matthews." He said, "I married Fanny Matthews." Says my son. I said, "Cousin Jimmy married your sister-in-law, Mary." He says, "Yes." I says, "And your daughter married your brother-in-law, Joe." He says, "Yes." I says, "Well, Uncle Martin, your father, your uncle, your brother-in-law, your great and your grandpa, to all of them." He says, "I sure." "That's where you come near to any I've ever had somebody at me straighten it out, chair."
Yeah. Well, now that's something. That's something. Now, I didn't know the titties mixed up like that so much.
Well, Dad Titty.
Ed Meganobi?
Was Uncle Cooper's nephew. Uncle Meganobi Cooper Titty was my father-in-law's uncle, own uncle.
Well, now, what did he up to? What did he do over them?
What they all do, they just married sisters.
Cooper Titty.
Cooper Titty married Molly Cooper.
Yes.
And Pink Titty married Margaret Cooper. So, her uncle and nephew married sisters. So, it made Frank's great uncle and great aunt, great aunt, great. First cut, second cut, I don't know. They just are in your cousins about three.
Yeah. Well, now, who's your kin folks now?
Well, what, I don't know. Ain't many of mine living, and ain't many of Frank's living.
I mean, of all those titties and all.
I guess Frank and his boarders and Cooper's boy, he ain't had but one.
Yeah.
I guess them the oldest chickens that I can.
And they've all thinned out. Well, that's amazing.
Died out, moved out, and left from around.
Oh, that's it. They'll move out.
Some of them moved out. Some of them died.
I gotta go home.
Well, I don't you let that rain catch you, Suzanne. I hear thundering out there.
Yeah. I might make it in before it rains. I'll see you again, Mr. Jenny.
Yeah. Come back out and miss my house again sometime.
Okay. I'll
you all come and spend the day with me sometime.
That's first time Suzanne been out your house, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
She's got to go play at a Gainesville now, I think.
She's got to go play at Gainesville. And she's had that kidney flare up and took all that sulfur. And she's still not got over that. Mm-hmm. That stuff stays with you a long time.
It does. Sulfur and rain don't work together either.
That's right.
To come in. Car?
Yeah, they got that little white car out there. 1960 or something like that. You didn't know that family had spread out that much.
I sure didn't. I'm going to fix this a little, just a little bite.
Sure.
A little bit too much for me, because I hadn't hardly been biting when you all called.
I know it, but we
had
no
breakfast.
Sure.
I slept till 10 o'clock this morning.
Well, let me tell you a thing before you do that.
I don't want anything to do it. I knew when Frankie left, though. So I know every morning when he leaves, his mama, I'm gone. All right. Take care of yourself. Watch out. Whatever you're doing, be careful. And generally, it's mostly, well, be careful.
Uh-huh.
He knows that takes up all the danger signals.
Now that,
I bet he missed that, too, while I was in the hospital.
Well, you know, yeah.
I bet he missed me saying, all right, be careful.
Well, now, is he any good in the kitchen?
Who, Franny? I don't know if we know any folks around nobody there to cook for him. He might smear up something. Be a smear, though, I imagine. He used to cook when he was quite a little boy. And go in the kitchen. What are you doing in there, Frankie? I'm going to want me some soft that cornbread. Wouldn't say salty, soft cornbread. And he'd stir up sesame meal, I went and stirred up, you know, get the griddle hot. And he frowned her little cakes like that. Like pancakes. And he'd take two of them, maybe he'd pee on old big ash potatoes. And he'd pee them, slice them real thin. Fry them potatoes in another pan while he's cooking his bread, and take another potato out, put them in between the two little fried corn cakes he'd call.
Uh-huh. That was good.
And he'd eat them. So I don't know where we were at one end, he'd come in. I get him. Mary says, "What are you doing, Mama?" I says, "I'm now." I says, "Frankie's been cooking." I says, "I smell his cornbread." They go, "And then look." And on the table and a plate, he had three or four left. And maybe three or four pieces of iced potato. Margaret said, "You left this for me." But I wonder about me and her, maybe we'd been up Ms. Smokes up there where the Stevenson live now, but they were living in another house. Closest to the road. I don't know, we might have been down to the pond fishing. I always cooked, no, so we never cooked now for supper and just cooked fish. And she'd take me some of the potatoes and some of the bread and eat, you know. Mama says, "That old buddy knows how to cook when he's hungry, don't he?" I said, "Well, what daddy done?" I said, "I don't know." Looked over on another plate covered up. There were big slices of fried ham. Frank couldn't cook biscuits, but he cooked cornbread. He didn't cook no grits. But I said, "Now then, got the ham." I said, "Don't eat it now. I'll save it for supper." I said, "I'm tired. I walked all the way." No, we'd been up to Ms. Lily Mixon's way up there, way on around from where we lived. We spent the day up there, though.
Miss Lily Mixon?
That's Miles and Sybil's mother, Den Mixon's wife.
Oh.
But he was dead at the time. We used to walk up there.
Oh, he had already died.
Yes, sir, he died before Frank did.
Uh-huh.
Mm, he died before our house burned.
Well, way back there.
Our house burned in the ninth day of March 31. He died 22nd, 23rd of December 28th, I believe.
Oh, that's about the time as Frank's father.
No, sir. Frank's father lived to the 28th of October, 47. My husband.
Yeah.
My father died in 28.
I mean your father.
He died the... 8th of, no, he died the 5th of October.
Yes. Now, but Miss Lily lived up there. She lived up there.
Yes.
At the home place.
Yes, she stayed on then. Got everything, all of them straightened out. When she was living with her youngest daughter in Ocala when she died. But they got the place all straightened out, and Ike, the second son, you see, Miles is the oldest boy, Ike's second son, and then Johnny's the baby. He's the one that worked for Cockrell out there.
Oh, he's
the one. Johnny did.
Yeah.
And Ike used for mostly road work. If you come home out of the Navy. And they divide the land up equal parts, you know. Ms. Mixon was to get a a home, place for a home, all to her part, a child's part, in that way. I think after she died, I turned in and bought all 10 parts, 10 shares. See, there was 11 children.
Well, their wives. Oh, that's right. Sybil has so many brothers and sisters.
Got 3 brothers and the rest of them sisters.
Yeah.
And I think that's the way it ended up. Ike bought all shares. And it all belongs to Ike now. Don't none of them got any, as nigga said, don't none of them got any finger in it at all. It all belongs to Ike.
And Ike owns it now?
Yes. And it was placed down back towards your plantation back down there. I built that in. I think Miles has got that now, that piece back down towards. But
well,
in fact, I know that didn't belong to the Nixon Strip.
You all were going over to just to visit Miss Lily.
Yes, so we'd walk over there. Sometimes, well, we didn't have no car, truck, and things going, the horse and wagon. And the horses or the mules, whatever they were working, was tired.
Yeah.
Now, if Frank had to go to Mekinope for seed or fertilizer or something, or tear something up there to sell, we'd ride that fur in the wagon, then walk on up to the house.
Oh, yeah.
And they'd mix and the girls, they'd walk down there sometimes, they'd walk down to church. The horses would be tired and they wouldn't have no truck, no car, anything to go in. Sometimes they'd come in the wagon. Now, to show you how people travel, when we first come up to Flemington, this had been mixed and his wife and children, that time what they had at that time, they'd gone from their place in a 2-horse wagon down to church. Well, if 5 horses, didn't have but 1 mule. Her name was Kit. And Uncle Martin said, she didn't drive well by us. So we didn't want just the distance. We'd have to go to the church. We didn't want to hook her up, you know. So we took Billy, our little red horse that we come up from Apopka, Orange County, up here to our little spring wagon. Had 2 seats to it.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd all go to church in our little spring wagon.
You didn't have far to go.
No, sir. But
you still didn't want to walk.
He wouldn't hurt me to walk, but Uncle Martin, being all right, he was, he'd have to hitch up to the buggy, or he'd have to ride horseback. And he'd been too old to ride horseback. Of course, he could ride. He'd ride over to his daughter sometime on the horse. But working some of the stuff, they wanted them to rest a whole lot, so a lot of us, night, me and Frank. And we had bought it down to church, walking and big as if it was streets of gold.
Yeah.
And wasn't hard road along then either.
No.
Mm-hmm.
That road was being fixed in 1928.
Yeah.
Because that was when Papa died. And they were running the lit they had done and widened it out. They were just coming old dirt roads like coming up here, you know. They had got it worked out like they wanted it. And they had these little old trains, you know, that would come out and haul that line.
Yeah.
Haul that line out. And they were working with that. At the time of my father's death, we had to drive out of a Model T down to Ocala, leave it in Meadows' garage, wait for my brother Eddie Dixon to come and pick up a car. I can't think of the name of the place where he got the car. And it was a little bit bigger than the old Model T. Model A, what he's trying to call it. And there was he, his wife, and my younger sister, Frank, myself, Monty, all my kids, except him, at that time, all went down there in that car. I think it was a Buick, I'm not sure. Pretty good sized car. We went down to Eva. It's a new little place that we're gonna build in, you know. And it said we're gonna call it Eva. So we went on down to Papa's. And there. When we got there, see, Ma done had him carried, he dropped dead, my father did. And she had to get him carried over to the nearest hospital, and where the doctors were, had him embalmed, brought back out. And then when the hearse come the next morning, brought the casket and the box, well, they sent the box on, you know, to dig the grave at a pop. And I don't know just how far that was, but we had to go by Groveland. Okay. I believe it is. Anyway, I know we come back by going into the cemetery. We come back by the place where Mother died. But if you hadn't have known it, so where they lived on this side of the room, me and Frank lived over on that side. Had it all from that lake in, if that was all orange grove. And all down there around the house where Papa lived, where Mama died, that was all in orange grove. And it just hadn't been that we knew when we'd pass these lakes, we'd know what come next. And we had a pretty good trip around that way. And when we got to the cemetery, I thought, well, see, we followed the corpse right on the hearse, you know, I said, followed him right on round to a pupka. But the grave digging truck, I think it was short away. We got then we had to show them where to dig the grave, because nobody had been over there to show them anything. Well, we got a preacher that preached up here. I believe we got Preacher Moncrief. Baptist preacher funeral. The only one that tried we could get hold of. Got down there, and then we had to wait to get the grave dug before Papa could be there. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, it was a hard time to stand and watch them digging a hole, put your last parent in. My stepmother wasn't good to me, then. But she wasn't buried in there by him, thank goodness. When she was dead, she'd be down that lake on, out in the cemetery, out in the Orange Brook. And then she married the last, is it? Williams, he was shipwrecked. Burns, I don't know just exactly how he died. Then Pop, well, I think, come next. He died, heart dropsy, dropped dead. And there's another, what was his name? I can't think of. She had five husbands, people.
Five husbands.
Miss Chitty.
Where did your daddy live when he died?
He was living down at that little place called Eva, you know, they make the new. Gonna make a new town.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, they were gonna name it Eva. Had a big sawmill out there.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Yes.
Cook a little bite.
Yeah, let's have a little bite. Maybe it's too, but like
that. Has she been up front? Oh, yeah,
yes.
She's been all over.
But maybe she'd like to stand up a little while.
Yeah.
You know where the bathroom is? Would you like to stand up? Walk.
Now, this was a break around 7 o'clock while Faye cooked supper.
And I think it was seven great big old brims, you know.
Oh, Miss Chitty.
And of course, Marty saved the biggest ones for me because we were more meaty.
Mm-hmm.
And she put the green rice went the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
And Daddy and Sam, they come by and showed them to Mr. Kennedy. And she asked the boy, she knows him, you know, and called him by his name. Chris is his name, but I think they was the last name. She says, I would like to buy one of them big brims from you for my grandma. So she's out of the hospital and she's been wanting fish, fresh fish. He says, why, Betty Ann? He says, I won't sell them to you. I won't give you one. Says, but I'll give them all to you. She says, well, let me pay you for them. No.
The whole thing.
Well, you know. You have been living high then.
Of course, they eat some of them too, you know. Mm-hmm. And Monroe come in the other day with, I think it's seven more brim and a catfish, or six brim and a catfish, something like that. So I didn't fish. I think I got one more yet.
Is that your weakness?
No, so I just like fish, but that's what I wanted when I come home out of the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted fresh fish. Yeah.
Some fresh.
And
fresh water fish.
And they cook them. And they put just a little bit of my salt on them, but not quite salt enough. When I get into the meat, you know, then I'll watch them and I'll see if there's more salt on them.
Now, Betty Ann saw one of her friends with those fish?
Yes, they call me. Orange Lake, this boy and several of his friends went. Left five o'clock Saturday morning, went over to Orange Lake fishing.
And they got some good sized ones.
They got good. I bet you, since they had good many more, you know, they divide them up between one another.
Mm-hmm.
Where did she run into them?
Nate Kennedy just throwing. And Reddick, you see, she works over there on Saturday.
No, I didn't know that.
Yes, she works over there on Saturday. He'd come by after early Saturday morning. They went on over to Williston. He puts his money over there in Williston Bank. Had to go over there, I reckon, to get money so he'd have some for change, you know.
and then come by and fix her up.
Must have come by and picked her up and then went to Wilson coming back.
She could watch out for you, Miss City. Working in the store over there.
Why didn't I think of their last name?
I don't know anything about it, but it.
I must be married.
Now, is that the store right there at the old school?
Well, it's the first store at the school down here.
Yeah.
Where these people live there.
Yeah.
Well, it's still right across the way.
Yeah. I see. Have you been knowing them a good while?
No, sir, I don't know them. I just know them by hearing others speak of them.
I see. The people that used to have that store by the school, they don't run it anymore.
Most of Mr. Kennedy's got that.
Yeah.
No. There's a school and there's another. There's a store over here. On the same side of the school, though.
Yeah.
Well, this little boy's family lives on the same side of the school, don't you? But he's back up here. And Mr. Kennedy's boy's back up here. And there's a store. It's not being run. Over there. And there's one across the street from Mr. Mr. Kennedy's.
Three stores. Now, you're going to have to trade over there then, a little bit.
But sometimes I buy some things there. Because I can get them a little cheaper there than I can north and there in my.
Oh, can you?
See, we do have these trade in Bartels at north and there.
Yeah, it's a little cheaper. On most things?
No, I don't know. Some things he's cheaper on. And some things you can't get at Mr. Kennedy's that you can get at Mr. Barton's.
I see. Yeah.
My baby goes scattering this stuff. I'm like, I can't eat with a fork on the things it should be with a fork. Jesus.
I quit trying, Miss City.
Whoever tried these peas with a fork?
I told Betty Ann eats with a fork. She hardly ever eats with a spoon unless it's some pudding or something that's made up, you know. Now then she'd eat with a fork, she'd get to it. They learn them to eat with a fork at school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, she's. No, I wasn't going to tell no tale. You kids made me bite my tongue because I was going to say you eat real good.
Don't bite your tongue, that is bad.
These peas do taste good.
Are they good?
Oh, my.
You just had the right kind of sauce.
I don't want any.
If we just had the right kind of seasoning, go ahead and eat them. Ain't gonna get nothing else from them now, huh?
Not from me.
I told them the other day, I said, well, I won't be here much longer. Daddy, I'm out and said, well, Mama, I like them. I said, well, the way I'm eating, I ain't gonna gain no strength. I said, and if I don't gain strength, I ain't gonna be any much longer. Mother said, Mama, don't talk that way.
Well, it's hard to eat when you're not hungry, isn't it?
Hard to eat when you're not hungry, and most especially when you ain't got the right seasoning on. I my breakfast and dinner about 3 o'clock. I eat my dinner while the radio man was there working on the radio.
Yeah. Miss, did it tell Faye about that man that sold it?
Button.
The Utton.
I done told her.
Tell it again. I want to hear it.
This time she says, now I've got a piece, nice piece of hack steak here. And here's some pork
lamb.
Lamb chops. I says, no, ma'am. I don't want no Utton.
And I didn't know what she said.
Yeah.
And I says, kind of like the man trying to sell mutton. And you couldn't say mutton. It sounded like you're saying buttons.
Yeah.
And people around, no, we don't. We got plenty of buttons here in the store. I won't buy buttons from you. But I didn't say button. I said button. I told you didn't need no button. Got a dang you don't understand teeth meat. And you couldn't say sheep meat. Not like that. Not that. It got it that eat sheep meat.
Now, was that somebody live over in your neighborhood?
Now, this was something happened back in my father's growing up days when he was a boy.
Oh, he told you about it.
And he said he used to help a fella butcher goats. I don't want no kidney meat either. That's goat, you know.
Yeah.
He said one way they were going to butcher a lot of goats. And they had one hung up and went to cut him. Well, the man that really done the butchering them and the killing them, he'd either got hurt or was sick or something. He couldn't be there. Well, Papa always hooked him, hang the goats up by the hind seat. And he'd get out of the way, oh, he'd have several of them, according to how many they were going to butcher. He'd help them get them up there. And this man come along, cut throats, you know, and let them bleed. But well, nobody there to help him, because they helped, hoping to get him hung up. And then they were going, nah. You know how they're bad. And he said, this goat, went to cut the goat's throat. You know, he said, "Oh, goat says, please." So he backed off and looked at him, looked around, see if it was somebody teasing him. You know, said he always got out of the way when the southern man went to cut throat, cause he didn't like him big. So he went back again to cut his throat. That little old goat says, "Please." Papa says, "Hey, have you?" These goats killed you, come kill them yourself. I ain't kill nothing that's calling, saying please. My papa was grown, say, you know, but the man done the butchering of them, cutting the throats, you know, probably he knew that he had heard one once before make that noise. He says, "Is all of them going like that?" They just said, "Well, I won't be with you when you said, I'll have to hang him up." He said, "But doggone if I'm going to hit the butcher." And that morning he was sick, Pop had. And he said, "Wait." He said, "All right." He said, "You wait, and I will too." He went to the boy and I drove on them goats, kill them himself. He said, "Well, Ed, what's the matter?" I don't take nothing to life that begs that pitiful. Telling me to wait. I'll wait.
I'm not eating the same. I have tried to come around to getting some fences where I could raise a few goats. And, you know, I just have never got around to it. Isn't that awful? I tell Frankie his fences are better than mine, and he says, oh, they're not, but they are.
Oh, the goats, though.
Well, that fence out there on the road will hold a goat. They're not all that good, I guess.
They go through the wires.
Ma'am?
They go through the wires.
Not out there on the front, next to the road?
Leave the wood. Would if they were ours.
Oh.
Yeah, that's trouble.
Mm-hmm. Come on, Becky. These bees are playing hide and go seek. You want me?
Hey, Jenny, you just eat what you want now, don't you? Don't you eat to be polite.
I just have to keep salivating. It don't last long if you put down your penny. Evaporates, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Well, maybe I should have cooked with it, put it on while it was cooking. I didn't think about that.
Margaret does. Sometimes she'll sprinkle a little on the chicken, a little on Jimmy's pork chop day. But I took all the fat off of it.
Mm-hmm.
So before I got sick, I eat beef, I eat fat. It ain't good to me if you don't get the fat.
Yes.
I eat pork, I want the fat on it. I eat it. My head seems like fat, you see.
Mm-hmm.
My blood goes to my head.
Yeah. Makes you lightheaded.
Do you like the top's been whittled out up in something put in there don't belong in?
Yeah.
What was it happened to me one time? I feel all right, and I believe some of it's cut off the top of my head and put something in.
I don't understand that. So much of the fine old food we used to eat has turned out to be, you see, not good for us. I tell you, we could eat it then because we were so active. If you go out and hoe a half acre in the morning, mm-hmm. You can eat a whole lot more than you can just watching the cows eat. Say while we were down there, the first one that came up to see us was that little bull calf.
Oh.
Yes.
Come up. Look all around. Finally, he went his way on around to the bull.
Got his nose up there.
They had to wash the end of the front of the car off and it kind of leaked on it.
Yeah.
Then
yeah.
Salt.
Yeah.
I reckon.
He's the one that swallowed the key.
That's right. He swallowed the key in the back of the car. It had a string on it. He was chewing the string. And he got the string up to the key, and it wouldn't come off, you see. So he just jerked it like that, and the key come out. And that was the end of the key.
And he swallowed the whole thing.
Willie was over here one time, and he said that Frankie at one time was sick, had a long spell of sickness. Was that when he was young?
Yes, sir. He had typhoid colitis, stomach trouble, and typhoid fever.
Oh, you knew what he had.
Well, the doctor said that it was, well, you know, back in long then children would have a bad stomach trouble. Some of them would have kind of like dysentery or something. But Francis wasn't. It was more like a locked bowels or something, and he had this typhoid fever. The doctor said that just his stomach tied up. And he'd leave some kind of medicine and tonic that he had. And the only thing the young one had to eat was jello.
Yeah.
And he didn't want that. Didn't want milk. One he just cut the fray, he just lay in, lower his head. Don't want it. So an old friend of ours, he had nursed several cases of typhoid fever. And he had typhoid fever himself. And he had nursed several others, you know this. And he told the doctors, he says, well, we had Dr. Gatchell from Fairfield. And that's why I said, I don't like Dr. Strange. Call him in. He'd call Dr. Daly in, old Dr. Daly. Why? Frankie might have gotten on better. But didn't. He just called around and got Strange come out. And boy, I didn't like that man a little bit. He come in now, had Frankie on an army cot, something like an army cot, in this bedroom. I slept on the other day. More time I could sleep. And the doctor said, Dr. Strange told Dr. Gatchell something. And he says, he picked